Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week and spend time with you guys for the next hour. And, yeah, we have so much going on these days. It's just, for those of you listening, the agents and brokers, of course, you'll listen in at your own time, leisure. But today we're going to talk about situations that every one of us has probably encountered or maybe encountering and don't even know we're encountering it. Waterproofing foundations, air quality and properties, what can be done, what cannot be done maybe. And I don't like to say maybe because there's always a solution for every problem. And so today we're going to dig in for the entire hour because it's going to fly by. And the biggest thing I want to put out is for people not to have fear, because it seems to be in our day and age today, there's fear coming at us from all different avenues, and we're all about staying grounded and working at that. And, you know, the home you live in or investment properties you buy, we're on the earth, and so with gravity and with the earth, you know, moving, revolving, et cetera, we're going to have issues that are just part of natural issues, so it's nothing to really fear. If you're thinking of purchasing a residential or commercial property that has visible water or foundation issues, are you experiencing them in your home or investment properties? Listen in today as Steve Yonker, owner of Maryland Waterproofing Company, is going to answer many of our questions and teaches us today on what can be done to remedy the situation. You know, or different solutions. This is not the end all, like some people think. You know, I think we all, in this day and age, I'm an old timer in this industry, and we see so many reality shows when it comes to real estate, and they say, you know, it has to be perfect. Don't buy this if it isn't perfect, and da 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 da. Or you get into your house, and all of a sudden there's subtling issues, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what did that seller hide before? And they didn't hide anything. It's just part of Mother Nature. So this is going to be fun. And without further ado, I'd like to introduce Steve Yonker. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great, great. Thank you so much for taking your time. I know you are slammed, especially with the market and with all the issues that come up. I really appreciate you taking your time to spend the hour with us.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Tell us, Steve, before we go on, because you are a true expert and you've had your company for a long time, give us some history on how you got into it and your background.
Sure. I initially got involved with what we do, just as helping a friend, a Vietnam veteran who was becoming more and more ill, and you know I was just basically helping him while I was doing my my original full-time position, and then found that I really liked the interaction with all the different environments that I was in, and end result was I quit my full-time situation and, have never looked back and been doing this for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And, I enjoy what I do. I do. It's more the people aspect of it, meeting new people, and being able to provide solutions for folks that in most cases don't really know what to do to resolve it, their issue, whether it be the waterproofing, structural repair, mold, incubation of mold, air quality. We do every application in the various areas that we specialize in, and can give options. That's the real key. I mean, it doesn't have to be a option. There's different options to different types of situations that folks may have. The other aspect from my, you know, the other thing for me to mention is that, you know, we do a lot of environments, churches, schools, daycare centers, you know, residential, you know, residential is a large percentage of what we do, but we do so many different environments, clinical environments, commercial environments, industrial environments. So it, you know, it's the issue is not just about our homes. It's about any structure, because, you know,
right.
The structure is erected based on, you know, the same principle, you know, and whether it's a house or whether it's, you know, a large commercial facility, you know, it's just a matter of the magnitude of the structure. But the concept and the issues are still the same, whether it's, you know, whether it's your home or whether it's your business or whether it's your church. I mean, we do a lot of churches because of the age of the churches and,
right.
you know, the usage. Yeah, the usage of those, you know, of that facility, daycare, food service, that
you
all occurs in the basement.
Do you do the environmental studies too? Can you they contact you for an environmental study when they're doing a commercial?
Well, we don't. And the reason being that if we do the analysis in terms of, or if we do the testing, then we can't do the actual remediation.
As a conflict, right? That would be more of a conflict.
Yes.
But you can give a report. You can give almost like an inspection report, though, right? That's because so much of that is needed on the, it's needed on the commercial, even though they'll do an environmental study, land checking out even or old gas, you know, pumps underneath gas station, any leaks.
Right.
But then with the home inspections, they need it as well. And I mean, I had the privilege of working with you on a property that I was so impressed.
Thank you.
The person had come in. We won't name names, right? Because I don't want to.
Right.
Say that
no, that's not important. That's not important.
I don't name names to protect myself. No, I'm just kidding. There was water damage, and we were told that the person they were working with, a certain community, a city community, and that it was fixed, and it was appalling to see what wasn't done. You know, and you right away came up with alternate solutions, ways to fix it right away, you know, and also
right.
The foundation issues, you know, of where we stand. It was, so that was a homemade job, and no one should ever allow anybody to do a homemade job if there's so seriously water problems. And tell us why, because sometimes people think, well, I can do it myself, or my buddy can do this.
Yeah, and we hear that a lot, I'm not being critical, because I mean it's sort of a
right.
natural instinct. Hey, let me see if I can save some money and do this myself. Inevitably, what we find is whenever that occurs, we're called back anyway. Mainly because I mean, you know, it's not just a layman's type repair. It's something
right.
that you know that you become good at over many many years and. The other aspect of it is it's the right solution, the correct solution that should be done. For example, I mean, I did a property for a person who was an attorney for the city that they lived in, and you know they wasted their money because they paid some handyman. Nothing. I'm not knocking handyman.
Mm-hmm.
That's not
right.
That's not what I'm trying to say. But they paid somebody to do a Band-Aid. And, of course, that was wasted money because they called me back 6 months later, somewhat embarrassed, and said, I'm so sorry. Can you please, would you be willing? And I certainly we would. And we did. But the point being that, you know, whenever you spend, you know, 20% of what it would cost to do it right, and you have to, then you have to repeat the process over and over. Really, it's going to be more than if it would have just been done correctly to start off with. The other part of it is the assessment. You know, it's critical that if there is an issue, that there be a proper diagnosis, and that that the options are there for that person to do whatever option that they choose to, but under the guidance of someone who knows, you know, what they're doing, so that it's not a waste of money, because it happens all the time.
And residential sales. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you have to.
No,
look
that's
at
okay.
That.
No, go, no. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say in residential sales, it depends where you are. And go ahead.
Yeah. No, it's about the proper diagnosis and the proper solution. Because if it's not properly diagnosed and there's a repair done that could be probably more expensive than what it would cost to do it correctly. In essence, you're just giving that money away for the repair, because at the end of the day, you're still going to have a part of that problem that still needs to be addressed.
I want to mention, like, and for example, because we have our membership associations, we have to kind of keep our pulse on different laws and rules. There's no way for us to know all without contacting the local jurisdiction brokers and agents that we work with. But in many states, like, for example, there may be a limit where you can only, as a homeowner, you know, have something done up to $1,000. After that, it must be a licensed contractor. There's situations where if work's done within 12 months before selling, you can't, as an owner, builder, contractor, you can't sell for 12 months, you know, because they want to make sure the work was done properly. There's all these different things that may or may not apply. I'm not trying to, you know, that it's worth checking out. But the big thing, when we get into basement, like leaking, there could be a small leak that's a small problem but can lead to a larger problem. So, for example, there could be mold. You know, lots of times one problem causes another. Water causes mold, black mold and structural damage and just other things. So your diagnosis is so important to look at the whole picture. There's like thousands of molds. I just didn't realize there were that many molds out there.
And there is.
So when you go into a structure basis, there's water leaking. How do you figure out, without it raining that day, of course, the best time to inspect is when it rains, but how do you figure out, okay, this is just grading that needs to be moved away, there's bushes in the way, there's roots, this needs to be done, or, hey, this is really structural, or, like, how do you do that analysis to figure out?
Sure. And there is a process that I or any of my inspectors would be using. And, you know, it's about identifying where the source of intrusion is. Is it coming in at the top of the wall? Is it coming in mid-wall? Is it coming in at the cove? The cove being where the floor and the wall meet. That's a seam. It's about pressure relief, and it's about drainage. So correlative to where the water's coming in would suggest whether it's a lateral issue or a hydrostatic issue or whatever, or an at-grade issue. There's occasion where the water's coming over top of the wall. So depending on what we determine from that assessment would suggest what application we would recommend to that owner, whether it's a residential owner, business owner, whomever. But, and that's very important to be – for us, we do every application inside and outside. We do yard drainage. We do excavation, dig, and the dig and seal, membrane seal on the outside. We do the interior subfloor pressure relief system. Depending on – what we find based on visible assessment as well as moisture reading. There's oftentimes we will be able to see where that intrusion is. Is it a muddy water? Is it a clear water? So that's the importance of having that experience and knowledge of what we're seeing and what that correlates to in terms of what we would be recommending to that person. Go ahead.
No, can you go ahead? Go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to say, you know, it's important that, you know, in my opinion, it's important that it be an established company with good credential and proper certification, license bonded, insured. But beyond that, it's about, having the necessary knowledge and or certifications to address whatever that issue may be. You mentioned, Natalie, it's cause and effect. I mean, the water is
right.
Telling you
exactly.
There's an issue, but it's the things that you then find, i.e. the mold, and or structural damage. I mean, it's all the root cause of the problem is the water. And you have to address that. Even mold companies, for example, restoration companies, let me say it that way. I mean, they refer people to us because extermination companies, that's another good example. We have exterminators and extermination companies that refer folks to us because they can treat what's there, but you can't guarantee that there won't be a reoccurrence until
and
you
structurally
get rid of water.
You've got it all covered. Right.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Mhm. Yeah, we do every structural
difference.
Repair. Yeah, we do a lot of structural repair, and have the ability to do any and all structural repairs. So, you know, as opposed to jumping right to the most expensive repair, it may be a matter of stabilization that doesn't have to cost what you may think it's going to cost. We do every application.
That's what I want to mention, though, because being in the industry 35 years and selling thousands of properties, it's always – I'm amazed. I mean, I believe in verbal offers where someone will say, I'm nuts, when I believe in it. But of course, an offer doesn't mean anything. It's not legal if it's not in writing. But throwing a number out, you know, when on residential, commercial is a completely different animal. We have a lot of studies. You have to get the attorneys involved. There's more to it. But it still doesn't mean you can't throw a number out. You know, we walk in, you see a property, it has all these issues. Throw a number out, hey, can we get an estimate, see what the other side says, because I can't believe how many people totally walk away from the properties, agents, brokers, just let the deal not even get started because somebody doesn't want to just throw a number out, you know. And so in your without seeing the properties, of course, you can't give a gauge or an estimate or guesstimate of the price or what it's going to cost. But in your opinion, is there a solution to every problem? Can 90-some percent of all of these issues be fixed? Or are
yes.
there some properties
it,
that just it, you go, now this isn't going to work? Huh? Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's a very rare occasion that we're not able to provide a solution, whether it's structural, waterproofing, mold remediation. It's just the extent you may have to go to address it. Perfect case in point. If you have a crawl space, and you have to have accessibility. And if you don't have accessibility, you got to create accessibility to be able to address the issue. And that would be one of the few times that we wouldn't be able to help somebody there just is no way that you can access the issue to be able to address the problem. But in most cases, I mean, 90% plus cases, that never happens. There's always some alternative or some means to resolve the issue. But there are those few occurrences, and there's rare occurrences that, if you can't access it, you can't fix it. And I'm remembering a couple of them, which is very frustrating because we pride ourselves on being able to you know, resolve everybody's
issue. But it's good to know.
Every issue.
Good to
that,
know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I have a situation that I'm trying to create a solution for, and it's an 1890s home that was built, you know, basically on the soil that, you know, but there is a solution. I mean, you can pier it, but is it really worth investing that kind of money in a house?
They would have to uplift. They would have to lift it up and pier it.
Well, you would have to dig it down to be able to either
to
that
put
or
stuff
you would
under
have
it.
To. Yeah, you may have to. I mean, there is, depending on whether there's it's set on. A lot of those older homes are set on literally wood,
right?
As opposed to concrete base, which is i.e.
Right.
the footing. But you could potentially, and here again, every situation is different, but you could potentially, you know, insert a push pier, bolt it in, and potentially jack, you know, raise it up and to an extent, which is nominal. The lift would have to be nominal, but to stabilize it and prevent it from sinking. I mean, and I'm thinking of a situation like that right now, where probably that's going to have to be the case. Although,
so is it just an old basement underneath that's leaking? Is it like what's the problem right now?
Well, no. In that situation, it's the fact that the house is literally sinking. I mean, it literally is sinking, and
wow.
It's the two sections of the house are separating. That is purely a structural issue versus a waterproofing issue, but. You know, there's always solution. I mean, even to the extent
right.
that you can create a basement. I mean, we put basements in houses don't have basements. I mean, we convert
that's
crawl
great.
Spaces
you dig,
to full basements.
That's fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
that's fantastic.
But that's very, very costly to do that, obviously. But, I mean, it's a matter of is it worth the investment to do something of that magnitude in terms of the value of that property.
You know, but I'm
so
always about like,
you know,
yeah, I'm, like location, but if it's the location, if it's the layout you like, the neighborhood you want, you know, it's worth checking it out and at least getting an estimate. And then on the commercial zoning properties, you know, lots of times we have to get a waiver. They need to do this. It's just all about looking the deal and working through it instead of just looking at it, nope, my bedroom furniture won't fit, nope. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it amazes me, right? But I'm just saying, or on the commercial properties, because lots of times as a buyer, you can get one heck of a deal because a lot of these items that are going to have to be addressed, the seller then has to disclose. So then it's a matter of, you know, for future buyers and on any of it. And so then, you know, there's IZs, and I'm not going to get technical on all different types of commercial deals. But still, even especially on residential, they're going to have to disclose. So possibly they'll pay for it or split the price, or you can negotiate and end up with a great deal. You know, I'm looking at your website, and it's something I just want to – it says, what are signs of a basement leak? And it says leaking basements offer a few obvious indicators, like pools of water on the floor, water trickling down the walls. But there's several other ways water damage can show itself, and I just want to read this list on your website. It says a rapid increase in mold or mildew, musty odors, damp spots on the walls or floor, a white chalky substance on the walls, cracks in the walls or floor, peeling paint or bubbling wallpaper, rust on appliances or other metal objects, dry rot, or warped paneling or wood. So now the mold is very dangerous, because when people walk in the basement, clearly there's definitely mold or it's been closed up for a while. That can all be fixed, right? But it's just a matter of what it's going to cost.
Yeah. I mean, there's established protocol for the remediation, and you know, a lot of times it's what you just said. It's because the property has sat for an extended period of time. There's been no turnover of that cubic feet of air because, you know, the windows haven't been opened, the doors haven't been opened, you know, the HVAC's been shut off. I mean, just a multitude of things that normally would create that ventilation has not been occurring. We see that a lot in homes that, you know, that are part of an estate or are bank-owned or whatever the case may be, because, you know, a lot of cases, it's, you know, the power has been shut off for an extended period of time.
Was it winterized? You say down here also leaky plumbing. So it could be a pipe that was busted in behind the wall that no one sees. Now it's caused a problem, and everyone thinks it's the entire basement, but it's not. It's just this one section.
No.
But then, of course, you know, I know when they get into the mold. So can you do mold remediation, or do you do mold testing, or both?
We do the remediation. We actually have a working relationship with several hygienists that to do the air sampling. And of course, we, you know, the protocol would suggest that, you know, that it would be the sample be taken by a licensed, you know, hygienist and analyzed by a nationally certified independent lab. And that's to protect that owner, that homeowner, whether it be the homeowner, business owner, whomever it may be. You want to have those checks and balances so that, you know, in terms of ethics, so that, you know, that you know that you're getting, you know, the solution that you should be getting, and that you're getting a solution, you know, at a cost that is a marketable cost. So I think that's somewhat critical to protect the consumer. I'd like that because otherwise, you know, you could contaminate those samples and it would be self-fulfilling for you.
Would be a conflict.
For the company. Yeah. It definitely would be self-fulfilling for the company. Same thing with structural. You know, we won't touch a structural repair, and we do major structural repairs. We do, we install temporary support. We do reconstruction. We do I-beam. We do carbon fiber. We do wall pinning. We do underpinning. We do virtually every structural repair, but I won't touch a structural repair unless I have an independently licensed structural engineer to substantiate the recommended scope of work that I give. And that's to protect me and the company. It's to protect that consumer, and it's also the correct thing to do. Same thing with
that's
permits
smart.
And inspections.
Right.
Yeah, it is. You want to have any structural repair should be done in accordance with the prescribed independently licensed structural engineer and the county permits and inspections for the area, for the jurisdiction, in the jurisdiction of where you're going to be doing that repair. That's to protect all parties involved, including the company doing the work. And that, to me, that's just the proper process.
That makes a lot
of
sense.
Folks who try to fix it themselves, you know, at the end of the day, they may end up selling that property, and then, of course, you know, the questions could arise. Well, what was this? Who did this? Why was this done this way? And if you've done it correctly, it's very easy to present that engineering report, sign-offs by county permits and inspections, and to indicate that the work was done in a professional and workmanlike manner, and as per the engineering specs and that county, the county permits an inspection. So anyway,
that makes a lot of sense.
Very important.
So your website's mdwaterproofinginc.com for Maryland waterproofing. So it's mdwaterproofinginc.com, has tons of information. What's your office number? I just want to have you give that out for people that want to contact directly.
Sure. Our toll-free number is 800-773-8373.
Great. And then people know they can go to reallyuniversal.com or also in contact us. And we'll
give you the information. And we always have 24 hours a day, Natalie, if somebody has an issue or a question, if they call that 800 number, they're going to, even if it's not during non-business hours, I get that call because, you know, I've instructed my answering service to alert me of any calls And they know the proper questioning, you know, to determine whether it's something they do. But I get a copy of every call. I've had calls at,
okay,
you know, 10, 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
And I don't mind that. I don't. If it's an emergency. Yes. So having said that, even if the office is not open, you know, from 8 to 5, for example,
right,
you know, the answering service does notify me or an on-call person that can call that individual back to answer any questions. That's the other thing in terms of, we pride ourselves on giving the information and doing, you know, quality education and for
right,
the homeowner, because they're not expected to know all the things that may be happening. I mean, that's just, I mean, I'm not you know, a dentist. That's why I go to the dentist. But
right,
in reality, you know, we like to give good information, which brings me back to a previous discussion we were having. If you're contemplating buying a house and, you know, you see something doesn't look right in terms of the foundation, you know, think about it. The foundation is the structural integrity of that structure. So, you know, if we, you know, call us and we'll come out and assess the situation. And if we determine that it does need something, you will know that before you purchase the house, and you can make it part,
exactly,
of the purchase of the sale of the house or the purchase of the house. So, you know, I encourage that, you know, and I have folks that call me routinely. Look, I'm looking to buy this property, and, you know, I'm seeing some of the symptomology that's on your website. And okay, well, let's try to get together here and let me look at it for you, and I can tell you. Then they make it a part of, you know, a contingency in the purchase of the property.
Right, exactly.
So that it doesn't
it's
become
so much better
an unexpected
than to,
expense.
Mm-hmm. It's so much better rather than just to walk away and say, this isn't the house for me, if it's something they really love. It just makes so much sense,
right,
to walk through the
right
steps and find out exactly what's wrong. And the seller needs to know, too, as well,
yep,
and disclose it. Well, let me ask you,
yeah,
on
well,
the residential
frankly,
side versus – go ahead.
Sure. Well, I was just going to say one last comment about that. In a lot of cases, and I do a lot of real estate transaction, either cited by the home inspector or requirement of the lender or whatever the case may be, but the point is it can be fixed. And if you know that up front, then it's not a huge unexpected expense after you've just went to settlement and spent a lot of money to purchase the house, then you're not going to get that surprise. And frankly, you know, our inspections are free. So, you know, we encourage you to do that. Most cases, a seller, you know, someone who's selling that house, they pretty much already know that something would need to be done and will agree, you know, to assist in that, in the cost of that repair. So that
right,
it's a positive outcome for both the buyer and the seller, because then you don't end up in a dispute because it wasn't disclosed. So
when that type of work is done, is it a 1 year warranty, 5 year warranty, or does it?
No
warranty.
No. In fact, when we do the waterproofing, it depends. Is it outside? Outside is a 10 year membrane warranty, both manufacturer
really?
And company warranty. Yeah.
Okay.
Inside is lifetime transferable warranty for water intrusion. If we do the interior subfloor pressure relief system, we give a lifetime transferable warranty, lifetime
wow.
service agreement. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And if we do
That's
four
amazing.
Walls, we can even give the HUD, the FHAVA certification.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, yeah. I mean, if we do interior, we give a lifetime guarantee that there will be no water intrusion and a lifetime service agreement. So that if there ever is a malfunction, you call the company, we issue a service ticket, we send a service technician out, they address it doesn't cost you anything.
Fantastic. Let me ask
yeah.
you, because I love commercial and residential, but we get so many people, and again, this is so interesting because it really takes away some of the fear, because, I've never I'm hearing so many stories from other brokers and agents too, how many people just go to the house, they go out, and they don't even try to make a deal when they loved everything else, right? And
right.
So what kind of basement waterproofing can a homeowner do on their own?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, I mean, there's extending of downspouts. Any volume of water you can get away from that foundation is a positive. Keeping in mind, there's so many different volumes introduced to the foundation, roof system, from negative grade, from the atmosphere, underground water sources such as underground aquifers, such as underground springs, underground streams. So there's many different sources that create tremendous volume.
Right.
So anything that you can get away, you know, it's recommended that there be a 5% grade away from the structure on the exterior. But frankly, I don't normally see that.
Right. People put shrubs right up to the wall.
Yeah, but normally, even with an established 5% grade away, where's the water ultimately go? It perks into the earth, comes back into the lowest point of construction, which is the footing of that wall. And the end result is that it's a diversion, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Drainage is the key to managing any water issue, whether it be yard drainage, getting the water away from that structure to keep it from pulling up, attracting, you know, the infestation, you know, the mosquitoes, et cetera, that you know, from the stagnant water, getting that water away. And there's drainage. Same thing with the, you know, with the home and the foundation. And I always illustrate, it's like a bucket. If the bucket doesn't have holes in the bottom of it, it accumulates. And eventually it fills and it overflows. The same scenario with a subgrade structure, i.e. a foundation. If you don't have the drainage in there, i.e. your footer drains and means for the walls to drain out, then that bucket is accumulating and it will eventually overflow, which then is, in essence, that water intrusion. If you have the drainage, then the bucket's empty. And when you get the heavy rain, all you're doing is extracting what's being introduced, not trying to extract the full bucket as well as what's being introduced, if that makes sense.
It makes total sense, definitely.
Yeah. I just find that to be the most critical aspect is to have sufficient have the adequate drainage, either interior or exterior, once again, to reemphasize, to get, you know, to manage that water away from that structure or out of that structure so that it doesn't create that overwhelming accumulation that then results in intrusion.
That makes total sense. So it's so nice that it's so doable. And then the commercial properties, that's just a whole other animal, but it's still the ground and dealing with the same type of issues.
It's still the same. I mean, I just did a major, not just, it's been, you know, a year or two ago. But, you know, we've done campuses, whether it be, you know, for a school campus and multiple buildings on that campus, or whether it be a high-profile commercial site where we've done the administration building. You know, it's still a structure. You still have the clay bowl of the construction, which is the initial excavation. You have your footings. You have your construction of the wall. You have the pouring of the floor, the erecting of the structure, and then you backfill. And that is where the whole issue begins, because once you backfill, that's a disturbed soil that can potentially create that false water table behind the wall that is then continuing to leach the bonding agent in that mortar and
creating the structural issues in terms of freeze line expansion or in essence, the softening of that mortar, whether it be concrete block, because we do every construction, brick, stone, terracotta, pour concrete, concrete block.
Wow.
But it's still, mortar is still the same composition. And then, of course, getting back. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. What is a carbon fiber stabilization? Does that cost less money? Does it last longer? What is that? What is the benefit versus the other types?
It is a stabilization and of that wall in terms of the lateral support, and preventing that wall from shifting any more than it may have already been shifted or. I guess in the bottom line being it stabilizes. carbon fiber, you know, is a newer approach. The traditional approach in terms of structural repair and stabilization of a wall is your I-beam support. It could be wall pins. Those are the more traditional stabilization processes for a shifting wall. There are other things.
Is that something that could just be blown into like a crack?
No. Crack repair is a totally different process in terms of injection, whether an epoxy injection, B grooving, and injecting and pinning a crack. Once again, that comes down to the assessment. Is that fracture projecting from the outside to the inside, or is it just evident on the inside and hasn't projected to the outside? That suggests what we recommend in terms of addressing that wall fracture.
Is that carbon fiber is stronger than steel? That's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's my understanding. And I guess scientifically, it has more tensile strength than steel. That's my understanding, yes.
Wow. So would it be cheaper or the same or depends? It just depends.
It's going to be about the same. The difference being that I-beam is more bulky. I-beam support, typically is a more bulkier outcome than the carbon fiber, which goes right onto the wall. But if you're going to finish it out, it doesn't matter anyway, because it's going to be within the frame. But that would be the advantage of using carbon fiber versus I-beam support, just in terms of visibility, as well as in terms of the bulkiness of that finished product in terms of the repair.
Wow. Well, what would you put in just a crack? Because a lot of properties I had a commercial one not too long ago that they were really concerned about the foundation because there were large cracks, but the building had been there for years and years and years, and they had a structural engineer check it out, and they said it was okay, and then they filled it in. But I'm not sure what they put in there, I guess. Concrete, epoxy, I'm not sure how they did it.
Yeah, you can do an epoxy injection. You could do B-groove and hydraulic cement.
Carbon fiber might be better. Right? Might be stronger.
You can.
I don't know.
You can. Yes. And that,
okay.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Natalie, because that is another usage of the carbon fiber, is for stabilization of cracks.
Yes.
You could actually seal those cracks with the carbon fiber. But if it projects to the outside, I do not recommend, and here again, this is my personal philosophy. I believe in digging that down on the outside, injecting it on the outside, and sealing it with a membrane on the outside, because I firmly believe to let the water come through that crack to the inside, even if you have injected it, you're still allowing
okay.
the water to come through whatever that construction,
oh,
whatever
not
that wall is constructed
it?
On. Yes. You,
oh.
you know, I do believe that it would be, I believe the best
huh.
and most comprehensive repair is to dig, inject, and seal that on the outside. Because
so you know it's a done.
Otherwise,
yeah, you've gotten in it. And, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for
that
example, concrete block. Yeah, there's an outer wall and inner wall of that concrete block. If you V-groove, inject that on the inside, that water's still coming from the outer wall of that block to wherever you've injected that crack. And there's a crack
oh,
there
okay.
for a reason.
Right. But you could
yeah.
from the outside, you couldn't just pour the carbon, I mean, inject the carbon fiber from the outside?
Well, no, you
that
would have
sense.
To dig it to expose it. You would have to expose it to be able to actually inject it or seal it and then seal it with the membrane. The reason I recommend the membrane is because it'll expand and contract with the wall. It's not topical. Yeah, if you just put a topical on it like a tarring and parging, long-term
then you're not doing anything.
Water.
No.
Right. Well,
it's like band-aiding it, I think, right?
Yes.
Right.
The reality being that if, you know, long-term interaction of the water to the bonding agent is going to break down that bonding agent. And then consequently, you're going to be risking the chance or be at risk for that to break down and then expand and open back up, whereas with the membrane, there's no interaction of the water to that repair. That's why I usually recommend digging and sealing it on the outside so that the water can't project through to the interior.
That makes so much sense. Can we get your toll-free number mm-hmm. again, just one more time?
Sure. That number is 800-773-8373.
Okay, and your website is mdwaterproofinginc.com. mdwaterproofinginc.com.
Yeah.
I tell you, the hour was going to fly by, and I knew it would. We have about 10 minutes left, and then it's going to throw
sure.
us into cyberspace because we record. So I just want to turn it over to you to say what you want to tell people because, you know, you've been in it so long. You're an expert at it. We've had a great learned a lot today. But what you
mm-hmm.
want to tell people, because there's such a fear factor with so many things, and it shouldn't be, right? Just
right, that's right.
Whatever you'd like
you
to
know,
say
it's,
as
it's,
far as being careful, but not, we should be fearful to be careful, right? We shouldn't just totally discount protecting ourselves. So
right.
just throwing it over to you.
I mean, from my perspective, Natalie, it's instinct. I mean, if you have a concern, then, you know, it doesn't cost you anything to have that concern at least addressed. Our inspections are free. And the other piece of it is, you know, I try to illustrate. It's like you buy a new car, it smells good, it runs good, everything is great. But the more miles you get on it, you're going to have repairs. You got to replace the brakes. You may have to, you know, have a major repair, like putting
right.
a new transmission in. A car is no a house is no different than a car. As that construction ages, there's going to need to be repairs. And, you know, I just emphasize that, you know, if you have any concern, address the concern by calling to get someone to take a look before that simple repair turns into a major repair. You know, if it's addressed at the onset of the issue, then you don't get an incubation of mold, which can be very costly to remediate. You don't get the structural repair because of the long-term exposure. If you address it immediately, then you could potentially be intercepting a major issue that could be extremely, extremely expensive. I mean, I can as recent as, this week. I mean, I'm doing one in a very upscale area here, $27,000. I mean, structural repairs, just did one for $42,000. The point being that was because
it
had been left. It was left on.
And it could be as little as $5,000, right? It could be as little as $5,000,
sure.
Or waterproofing could just
sure.
be a few thousand, depending on the issue, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, the other thing I emphasize, you know, the issue is indiscriminate in terms of age. I mean, yes, the longer it goes, the more damage
Good
occurs.
Point.
But
excellent point.
But
excellent
we,
point.
I mean, we've done new houses. I'm talking houses that are 6 months to a year old. We've done historic houses, you know, where the issue has been occurring for 200 years. So, I mean, my advice is if you have a concern or if you see when you begin to see it, it's like an illness. It's not going to fix itself. Call somebody to come and take a look for you. At least it'll help you to plan for the cost of the repair, and it could potentially be saving you tens of thousands of dollars because the problem has been.
Exactly. That makes sense. I do want to add, though, for homeowners and commercial, residential, all of it, to check with your insurance agent and make sure that you have mold coverage on your policy. Make sure you have sewer and water backup on your policy. You know, other types of water damages, there's certain things that aren't will be excluded. But it's amazing what I've heard over the years, how many people don't have those additions which are easily added.
Right.
You know?
Well, you can
Very
even add
important.
Pump insurance. You can add pump insurance as a rider onto your policy for almost nothing per year.
Good point.
And if you know, a pump is just like an engine in your car. If it fails and you get a heavy rain, you're going to have a flooded basement. And, you know, of course, if that happens, then there's going to be damages. And it's not just finished space like drywall, carpeting, et cetera. It could be, you know, it could be mechanical units, hot water tanks, furnaces. All those items could be affected by that flooded basement. So, you know, and if you have that insurance, if you have that rider on your policy, you're going to be relieved to know that they will cover it. If you don't, if it's ground surface deposit, in most cases, there's disclaimers for ground surface deposit. But you can protect yourself by having those riders put on your policy.
I'll tell you, it's a peace of mind. It really is. We all pay insurance and lots of insurance for other things, but it's definitely a peace of mind. And we are down to our last 5 minutes, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on. You've been so informative, and we will definitely be referring people to you. Now, some people listening are in different parts of the country, could be all over, you know,
sure.
So that would be great if they can still get advice. And you know, what states do you cover right now? Maryland?
We're licensed in Delaware, Maryland, West Virginia, PA.
Okay, that's a lot.
And you know, we were licensed in the Virginia sector, but you know, we're going to get we chose to not renew that, but we are going to be renewing that as well. At this juncture, we service the four state area. And, but in terms of one other thing I want to mention, you mentioned some of the, you know, your show is nationwide. You may be in Missouri, and if you have a question, you can call the 800 number. I mean, we have folks here that can answer your questions. You know, I can't say that I can refer somebody to you, but at least I can give you, some information regarding what you maybe dealing with. It doesn't, even though I'm not going to provide the services for you, I mean, I can certainly help you in terms of education.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
Okay.
So it has been such a pleasure. I'm thinking, it's just something for people not to be afraid of. You know, it's part of the house, right?
Right, yeah. You know, we're not afraid to get in our car, because it has, you know, 90,000 miles on or 100,000 miles, if we know we've maintained that car, we have as much confidence in that car at 100,000 as what we did whenever it was brand new if we properly maintained it. If we know that we haven't, then we're probably going to have some concerns. And the house is no different than a vehicle. You have
exactly.
to properly maintain, yeah, to minimize the opportunity for a very expensive repair. It could be, you know, as I just to reiterate, you know, it could be a very inexpensive repair. Left unaddressed could become a tremendously expensive repair. So that's my words of wisdom. All right.
Thank you, sir. So it was great. You have a
thank
wonderful
you.
Rest of your week. I'm so glad you came on. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you, Natalie.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.